Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name is Greg Dunlap. I work at Node One in Stockholm, Sweden. I'm doing a core conversation tomorrow on managing the configuration and staging and deployment stuff for Drupal 8. My focus since I joined the Drupal community about 4 years ago has been on how to manage content, specifically deployment between Drupal sites. And it's kind of sad that we're still sitting here talking about this 4 years later, but it looks like there's finally some momentum in the community to get this addressed for Drupal 8, which is really great. And one of the focuses, or really the main focus of my core conversation, is that with modules like features and ctools and exportables and stuff like that, we've been focusing a lot over the years on configuration management, on how to push our views and our content types and our settings and all of that kind of thing between sites, but ignoring all of the content that's actually in our sites. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about what is and isn't configuration in Drupal sites, and what is and isn't exportable, and where the line comes between configuration and content on your Drupal sites, and only focusing on the configuration side and really the needs of developers, which is really the key. We're only focusing on the developers' needs. And, you know, Drupal scratch your own itch. It makes sense that that's what happens. But I have a lot of worries that if we continue focusing that way, then we're going to end up with a solution that only sort of goes halfway. And, you know, you see a lot of things in core, they go halfway and they get in and they never disappear ever again. And I have a real problem with this focus because Drupal is not designed to have a differentiation between content and configuration. It doesn't exist in the structure, it doesn't exist in the tables, it doesn't exist in the admin, it doesn't exist anywhere. And for us to sit here and pretend like it does, it doesn't make any sense. And if you look historically, like if there was a graph that showed the dividing line between content and configuration in Drupal, it would actually becoming, the line would be grayer and grayer over time rather than becoming clearer and clearer. A lot of people say, oh, we need to make this dividing line harsher, and it doesn't happen. We end up making it worse. And, you know, it's just like when people say, oh, we need to make the line between functionality and design more clear in Drupal, and then they do things like adding the ability for themes to access alter hooks. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And so what I want people to start doing is to start looking at the Drupal deployment issues more holistically and more system-wide, and start thinking about how we can apply this across Drupal and kind of take away this false dividing line that exists between things. So that's the rant portion of my core conversation. And then I'll talk about some ideas I have about what we can do in Drupal 8 to address it.
And so what are the big questions you're going to be posing to this group in terms of, like, how do we figure out this? Or what are you going to be focusing on in particular?
One of the things that happens when you take big core initiatives is if they're too big, you can end up like, you can't save the world in a core version. You know, you've got to kind of divide it up into approachable pieces and get done what you can get done. And so I've kind of got it tied into three different pieces. And one is to be able to uniquely identify every piece of data or everything in Drupal that we want to move around. And one is to make everything in Drupal exportable. And one is to clean up our APIs such that we can actually save and load things programmatically, which right now is very difficult because of a lot of our dependence on Form API for so much of our stuff. And that's something that I think in particular people don't associate with the staging and deployment problem, but it's a huge issue for us. And as we expand more into making Drupal accessible to web services and, you know, having more and more alternate ways to get data in and out of Drupal than just working through the admin, and that becomes more and more of an issue. So
talk a bit about more of that third issue there, like in terms of like, just explain that a bit more.
Okay. So one of the most common ways to work with Drupal is you build a form and then you create a validate function and a submit function. And so when you submit the form, the validate function fires and the submit function fires and then your data is saved. The problem with that is that only works if you're submitting a form. And so if you do something like programmatically, we've got the function node save. And so if you go through node save and save a node, none of that stuff that's in the form API is actually going to fire. And so what happens is that you end up having no good way to save nodes, realistically. You know, there's this function Drupal execute, which is supposed to mimic the form API, but it doesn't really work all the time. And it's very touchy because, like, for instance, date module is a good example of where it's touchy. There are like 18 different ways to set up date module, and all of them manage their form fields very slightly differently. And so if you try and Drupal execute a node with date functionality in it, it's extremely difficult to get the formatting right. But on the other hand, there are places in Drupal, last I checked, translations was a place where this happens, where they form alter in a checkbox and then they have a submit function that manages the checkbox, but they never actually add it into the node save API area. And so what happens is if you node save a node that has translations, they don't get managed right. And another thing about translations is that they automatically rely on the Drupal or on the PHP, the server, the get variables. And so if you're doing like a post through XML RPC or something like that, you don't have that data available to you. And so it ends up in this situation where five modules form alter the node form and five modules have submit functions, but if you node save, none of those modules' functionality gets executed. And so, you know, I don't have any delusions that we're going to be getting away from hook form alter or removing it from core or anything like that, but what we definitely need to do is sort of evangelize the fact that submit functions are not API and form set error is not an API. And what you should be doing is creating real API functions for this stuff. And the submit functions and the validate functions are only for grabbing data and getting it into the format you need and you pass it on down the line. And in order for that to happen, you know, we always say do as core does. And we need to set an example. We need to do it right in core itself. So that's what that's all about.
And what about the naming functions? You know, you have different content types and you have this article or blog, or what do you mean it specifically? How does naming all the different content relate to content deployment?
So that goes back to the unique identifier issue. And so moving to now, you know, with features and exportables and stuff like that, you've had to add machine names to the items that you wanted to work with. And that really is just a way to uniquely identify an item between two servers, because to uniquely identify stuff in Drupal right now, you use auto-incrementing IDs, and they're unique to every individual server, but if you try and push a piece of data to a new server, then you'll get a different ID, and then you can't match your changes up, and so things get really confused. So we came up with this machine name concept. And that's also really useful because, for instance, in views, when you give a machine name to a view, it's also used in the like the divs when the view is rendered and things like that, which can also be useful because then you can use it to target CSS towards a specific view and things like this. But on the other hand, for items like nodes and taxonomy terms and things like this, it doesn't make any sense to come up with this unique machine name for all of these things. It's much better to come up with another way to uniquely identify them. And so what you would do for those things is you would use what are called UUIDs. They're universally unique identifiers, and they're randomly generated and based on information that's unique to the machine, like, for instance, its network MAC address or the timestamp in milliseconds or something like that. And then that allows you to uniquely identify, regardless of where your information goes, the data. You know, and there's been a lot of conversations about UUIDs over the years, and there's performance implications in using them. And if we were to replace all of our primary keys with UUIDs, the upgrade path would be a disaster. And so there's a lot of issues to be discussed around that topic. And whether or not we use UUIDs everywhere, or whether we're going to use machine names some places and UUIDs some places and stuff like that. But that's something that one way or another needs to be solved in order for all of these issues to get addressed.
And there has been a big push for getting things exportable, but it sounds like not everything is exportable that needs to be.
No, and I mean, a lot of the stuff that's been made exportable now is some of the easier stuff, actually. I mean, not that views are easy to export, but Earl's made it a priority. A lot of the stuff that's in core right now, like blocks, for instance, are very complex to export. And, you know, things like content, like nodes and taxonomy terms and users and stuff like that, they've never been made exportable at all. And nobody's even paid any attention to making them exportable, really. And so that's definitely something that we need to talk about.
Cool. And what do you hope to see sort of happen at this DrupalCon and throughout, and what do you sort of see as the development process for helping get some of these changes into Drupal 8?
I'd kind of like to get, myself and David Strauss and Howard from ZivTech are all doing core conversations on deployment issues. And I think, you know, obviously there are a lot of people in the community who are really looking forward to focusing on this. And hopefully throughout the week, we can have a lot of conversations about best approaches and how we can divide the tasks up into approachable issues and start creating some of those issues, since I hope Dries is going to open the Drupal 8 branch this week. And so we can start approaching some of those issues and starting to actually get some discussion going and moving forward in a real level, rather than just sort of sitting around when we're working on too. So.
Okay, well, great, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.